Welcome to this week's Real AI Podcast, based on the first and most popular weekly newsletter about real estate and artificial intelligence for real estate agents and brokers. I'm Kevin Hawkins, the Real AI Guy, and these are the highlights from this week's Real AI newsletter for the week of June 22nd, 2026. Now, here are your AI hosts, Miles and Grace.
What if I told you that over half of Americans are perfectly comfortable buying a $500,000 house without ever actually speaking to a single human being?
I mean, it sounds like science fiction, right? But it's the reality of consumer behavior right now. The ground is literally shifting under our feet.
Yeah, it really is. Our mission today for you, our listener, is to basically cut through all the endless hype and the panic around AI.
Because there's a lot of it.
Oh, a ton. And we want to answer one fundamental question. Is AI actually paying off? Like, we hear it's changing everything, but is anyone seeing a real return on investment?
And that is the defining question in business today. But to get the truth, you know, we have to look past the slick tech brochures and see what's actually happening in the trenches.
Which is exactly what we're doing today. Our insights are drawn from the June 22nd, 2026 edition of the Real AI newsletter.
Right, co-created by Kevin and Corey Hawkins.
Exactly. Okay, let's unpack this. Well, to understand the payoff, we really need to start with the massive wave of skepticism out there. Why are so many seasoned professionals just looking at AI and saying, nope, definitely not worth it?
Well, their skepticism is actually pretty rational when you look at the corporate disasters making headlines. I mean, professionals are watching these spectacular miscalculations play out in public.
Oh, you mean the crazy bills?
Yes. You have these companies rushing to adopt enterprise AI because the hype, right? And they just give their heavy users unlimited, unmonitored access.
Right.
And suddenly they're getting hit with these massive, unexpected bills, literally millions of dollars, because their teams are burning through metered AI usage with zero guardrails.
Because the company thinks they're paying like a flat subscription, but they're actually paying for computing power by the drip.
Precisely. They treat the AI like standard software. They don't realize every complex prompt requires huge processing power. But, you know, there's a second, probably more damaging corporate failure here.
The layoffs.
Yeah. The cautionary tale of executives who actively laid off human workers, fully expecting an AI system to just step in and seamlessly fill the gap.
Only to discover that you still absolutely need a human for things a machine just cannot do.
Right.
The source material has a perfect real estate example for this. Like, an AI can definitely help an agent work faster. It can write a brilliant property listing, sort data, draft 50 emails in 5 seconds.
But it cannot hold a real estate license.
Exactly. It can't legally represent a buyer, and it certainly cannot absorb legal liability if something goes wrong.
And that gets right to the core of why these corporate mandates are failing. Companies are fundamentally confusing task automation with total role replacement.
Right.
AI is brilliant at specific repetitive tasks. But a human role isn't just a list of tasks. It's overlapping responsibilities,
yeah.
Soft skills, context, liability.
Emotional intelligence.
Exactly. When executives confuse a task for a role, they fire the human and the whole system collapses because the liability and context have nowhere to go.
It's like treating AI as a fully licensed, autonomous employee that you can just set and forget, rather than treating it like a high-powered power tool.
That's a great analogy.
You wouldn't buy a brand new state-of-the-art power saw, leave it in an empty lot, and expect it to build a house by itself.
That is a phenomenal way to visualize it.
Yeah.
But because these companies treat the power saw like an employee, they look for headcount reduction to measure their ROI.
Which is completely the wrong metric.
It is. If they don't see a drop salary, they assume the tool failed.
So if the corporate world is measuring this all wrong with headcount, how should an individual professional or, you know, a small business owner actually measure if this tech is paying off?
You have to measure it inside the friction of the everyday work you're already doing. AI shouldn't be a separate business activity.
Right.
The question isn't, did this replace my assistant? It's, did this help me respond to a complex email faster? Or did it help me prepare for a hostile negotiation?
Or explain a dense concept to a buyer? The newsletter gives this incredibly tangible example of a home inspection report.
Oh, right. Those 50-page documents.
Yeah. Full of technical jargon. Taking that grueling, hours-long review process and using AI to reduce it down to minutes.
Exactly. When you take a task from 3 hours to 3 minutes, the first real return on your AI investment isn't dollars in a bank account. It's time.
Time. which obviously translates to money eventually. But the immediate dividend is time for prospecting, follow-up calls, high-level client service, or frankly, just getting your evenings back.
Right. Instead of doing paperwork at your kitchen table at 10 at night, reclaimed time is what creates the space for real revenue growth.
Okay, I hear that, but I have to push back here.
Sure.
If the ROI is just saving time, why do I hear so many people complaining that using AI is actually a massive time suck for them?
It happens all the time.
I mean, I tried using ChatGPT last week to summarize a basic vendor contract. I spent 45 minutes fighting with the chatbot, trying to give it context, and then another 20 minutes fixing its hallucinations where it literally made up clauses.
Yeah, that's incredibly frustrating.
At that point, my ROI is aggressively negative. I could have just read it myself. Why is it saving experts hours but costing me my sanity?
This raises an important question.
Yeah.
And your frustration is exactly what's preventing mass adoption right now. It comes down to a massive gap between the tools people are using and the skills they possess. It's the skill and tool gap.
Okay, explain that gap, because I consider myself fairly tech savvy.
It usually starts with a fundamental mistake. Expecting a free public AI tool to perform like a paid business-grade tool.
Ah.
The Hawkins newsletter hammers this relentlessly. Free tools are not for business, period.
But aren't they basically the same brain? Why does paying 20 or 30 bucks a month magically fix the hallucinations?
Because it isn't just about extra features. The whole architecture of how it handles your data is different. When you use a free tool, you're in the public square. The model scrapes your inputs, generalizes, and constantly resets.
Okay, so it has no memory of my business.
Right. But when you jump to a business-grade tool like ChatGPT Business, you're paying for ring-fenced data.
Ring-fenced, meaning they put a wall around it.
Yes, it's a closed loop. The AI learns your brand voice, remembers instructions, and crucially, your confidential info isn't fed back into the public model.
Oh, wow. So the performance jump is just instant.
It is. The drafts are cleaner, the logic is sharper, and you aren't starting from scratch every single time.
That makes a lot of sense. But paying for the better tool is only half of the gap, right? What's the skill component? Because my prompting clearly needs work.
The math of ROI only changes with proper training. You have to learn how to interact with a large language model. You can't just throw a document at it and say, fix this.
You have to give it robust context.
Exactly. Do one single discrete task at a time. And most importantly, you have to master him and her.
Him and her. Let's define those because the newsletter treats them as the absolute holy grail.
Him stands for human in the middle. Her stands for human, evaluate, and refine.
Give me a concrete example of what human in the middle actually looks like.
Let's say a furious client emails you demanding to bring a contract. If you just forward that to an AI and type, write an email to this angry client, you're abdicating responsibility.
Right. That's how you get a robotic, empathy-free response.
Exactly. Human in the middle means you insert yourself to set the boundaries. You say, here's the contract, here's the complaint. Draft an empathetic response outlining their three legal options, but maintain a firm boundary that we will not waive the cancellation fee.
So you're basically acting as the director, giving the actor specific motivation and constraints.
Yes. You are in the middle of the workflow. Then comes her, human evaluate and refine.
Which is reviewing it.
Right. The AI spits out a draft in 5 seconds. You don't copy and paste it. You read it. You realize the tone is too aggressive, so you manually refine it before hitting send.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because when you combine that secure paid tool with those him and her skills, the financial payoff is staggering.
It really is.
We have two wild anecdotes from the source material. First, Kevin Hawkins himself. He used Notebook LM and ChatGPT Business to review his own taxes.
Which is a great use case.
He fed his docs in, set the parameters, and found two distinct things his commercial tax software TurboTax had completely missed.
Showing how AI can be a highly rigorous secondary review layer.
Yeah.
It doesn't replace the software, it audits it.
But this second story blew my mind. There was an attendee at a recent NARI event who was super skeptical about AI, but she went home and her CPA contacted her saying she owed $42,000 in taxes.
That is a stomach-dropping number. Most people would just panic.
Right. But she takes her info, runs it securely through her ChatGPT Business account, uses those exact evaluation skills.
Giving it the context.
Exactly. Asking it to check deductions. And she finds a massive mathematical oversight that her human accountant had missed.
Wow.
She takes it back to the CPA. Shows them the error, they rework the return, and the $42,000 debt completely vanishes. Her quote to the room was, "If anybody wants to know about ROI, AI saved me $42,000.
That is a phenomenal story. And it highlights something crucial. We always talk about ROI as making money or saving time, but mitigating risk is a massive part of it.
Oh, for sure. Catching a blind spot is ROI.
Using a weak, hallucinating free tool can wipe out your business. But using a business-grade tool correctly acts as a safety net. It catches human errors.
So we're seeing savvy professionals slowly figure this out. They're migrating to paid tools, learning to be the human in the middle, and catching expensive mistakes. But what are the consumers doing?
What's fascinating here is that the consumers are not waiting for the professionals to catch up. They are leaps and bounds ahead.
It's rapidly shrinking the knowledge gap between the expert and the buyer. And we have data on this. And honestly, it feels like a glimpse into a slightly intimidating future.
Let's look at the March 2026 Veterans United survey. 400 prospective buyers. The numbers are staggering. 89% would willingly share personal financial info with an AI for tailored mortgage advice.
Almost 9 out of 10 people are fine handing over salary, debt, and credit scores to an algorithm.
Yes. And 76% are completely comfortable having an AI shop for lenders on their behalf. 69% would use AI for loan application docs.
And 68% trust the complex mortgage information provided by AI tools. But then there's that final statistic we teased at the start of the deep dive.
53% of prospective home buyers said they would be comfortable buying a home with no direct human involvement whatsoever, relying completely on AI.
Wait, over half of buyers are willing to drop the human completely for the biggest, most stressful purchase of their lives?
Yes, over half.
How does a human professional even compete with a machine that has earned that level of consumer trust? I mean, for decades, the value prop was, this is scary, I'm the trusted human to hold your hand.
They compete by recognizing that the consumer's definition of trust has fundamentally changed.
Yeah.
We used to trust a firm handshake, right?
Yeah, reassuring smile.
Now, consumers prioritize efficiency and flawlessly tailored data. They know humans have biases. A broker might push a loan for a commission.
Ah, so in the consumer's mind, the algorithm doesn't have a hidden agenda.
Exactly. It just does the math. They trust the precision more because the machine removes the friction of being sold to.
But that has to terrify the industry. If consumers are putting blind trust into an AI for a $500,000 asset, what happens when the machine gets it wrong? There have to be massive guardrails being built, right?
And that is exactly what's happening. Mm-hmm. Because the consumers have bought in, the industry is suddenly facing an existential crisis. We're moving into an era of frantic industry governance.
You can see it in the June 2026 headlines. The source material lists a bunch, but two major themes emerge. Fear of manipulation and the desperate need for data visibility.
Let's break those down.
On manipulation, Real Estate News ran a piece on the urgent need for consumer transparency around AI-enhanced listing photos.
Which is a massive liability. If an AI hallucinates a brand new roof onto a house with water damage, the legal fallout is catastrophic.
You're essentially committing algorithmic fraud.
Exactly. And on data visibility, Housing Wire reported on Project Nexus RE.
Which is adding a massive governance layer for MLS data. For our listeners outside real estate, an MLS is the proprietary database of all homes for sale. Project Nexus RE is trying to control how AI uses that data.
Right, because if brokers don't know where their proprietary info is going, they lose their business model.
And amidst all this policy panic, PC World dropped a highly technical reminder. ChatGPT still forgets things in long threads. It has memory buffer limits.
This is a crucial concept. An LLM has a context window. Think of it like an etch-a-sketch. Huh. As you give it prompts, the screen fills up. Eventually, it runs out of room. To keep drawing, it has to shake the etch-a-sketch, which means it starts forgetting the details you gave it at the very beginning.
Oh, wow. So it's not an omniscient brain. It has limited short-term memory.
Exactly. Which brings us right back to why her human evaluate and refine is so critical. You have to check its work because the tool literally drops data when overwhelmed.
It feels like the industry has built a high-speed bullet train, and while the consumers have already boarded, the professionals are frantically trying to lay down the tracks and safety signals right as the train is leaving the station.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that's perfectly stated. These safeguards aren't about slowing down innovation for bureaucracy.
They're essential.
They are the foundation required to protect that long-term ROI. Because if an industry loses consumer trust due to a massive AI hallucination or a data breach, all the time you saved vanishes overnight.
Great point, Miles. And that's this week's Real AI Podcast. I'm Kevin Hawkins, the Real AI Guy. And until next week, keep it real.